Okay, if I could have your attention, first of all, I want to welcome everybody here to Zeifman's for Reverend Keffet's presentation. Reverend Keffet has well over 1,000 shiurim on yutorah.org, and I think by the completion of his comments today, you will understand why any time you find yourself in my car, you hear Reverend Keffet, and why I no longer get upset with traffic. So with that, I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to call on Reverend Keffet.
First of all, I just want to state to those listening across the world that we're in Toronto right now, and as all the topics I speak about, this was requested of me. It's not a topic I would like to speak about in public, and it's more to a closed audience, but it's dealing with a very real problem. Do you hear an echo? Are you hearing me well, or you hear an echo? Oh, you hear me well. Okay, so I hear an echo, but that's okay. If we don't have good rebbeim, good melamdim, good rabbis, the Jewish people have no future. There's a very fascinating Gemara. It's two places in Shas. I'll quote to you from Moed Katan, Daf Yud Zayin Omer Aleph. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, my dechtiv, it's a pasuk in Malachi. Ki siftei kohen yishmeru dat v'tore yivakshu mipihu ki malach Hashem spakot hu. And the Gemara comments, imdoma harav the malach Hashem yivakshu Torah mipihu v'im lav al yivakshu Torah mipihu. And the fabulous Gemara, a Rebbe has to be like an angel. So first of all, you can look into Rashi. On the elementary level, it simply means if you have a Rebbe, if you have a Mamlamed who's a disgrace, whose behavior is not upright, then people will say, how can I observe Torah? This is the example, corrupt, degenerate, takes graft, sexually degenerate. And you look at a Rebbe like that, absolutely. There's no Torah there. There's no lesson. There's no sanctity. On a deeper level, and this is perhaps most important, what characterizes an angel? An angel, time has no effect upon him. He's not immortal. He's created by God for a certain purpose. He's not young, he's not middle-aged, he's not old. Chazal have a problem, Midrash Rabbah, Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph. We have three magnificent volumes that were written by Shlomo HaMelech. Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, Kohelet, and Chazal want to know when they were written. And there's a machloket, you can check it out. But the dominant opinion is like Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Shashirim Katav Techila V'achakach Mishlei V'achakach Kohelet. And the Medrash Rabbah goes on to say, we learned this out. It's natural, a person in his youth, I'm calling the Medrash now, Shir HaShirim. Youth, interpret Shir HaShirim as you wish, but the basic element in Shir HaShirim, the simple pshat, is a magnificent love story of a young lady and a young man. At times the young man is chasing the young lady, at times the young lady is chasing the young man. I can comment on that, those of you who know my Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik's drasha in the drasha he gave. I was in the audience, 1956, it was the 8th anniversary of the State of Israel, and the Rav gave an unbelievable drasha in Yeshiva University on Kol Dodid Dafek. You can comment indefinitely. But the simple pshat is, it's a love story in a person, young, that has to captivate him. Person gets older, he gets wiser, and in middle age, someone turns 40, 50, They already have Mishlei. They can give you advice. They've been through life. In ancient Chinese, they have Seichel. Underline the word Seichel. And then you get older, and you become, you know, a little bit sarcastic, a little bit cynical. And that's Shlomo HaMelech in his old age, Kohelet, Masha Hayahu Sheyeyeh, whatever it was, that will be. If we lived like that in our young age, we wouldn't be here today, if you understand what I'm saying. There wouldn't have been a Rav Soloveitchik, there wouldn't have been a Lubavitcher Rebbe, Masha Hayah, but you get older, Ein Chadash Tachat HaShemesh, there's nothing new. Now there's a great challenge. Could you imagine a Rebbe, and I just finished in the Kollel, what is it, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, I finished 56 years of teaching Torah in the classroom. And as I travel, I meet students going back 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, etc. So could you imagine if I had a period of Shir HaShirim, I was a Mizrachiite. Later in life, Mishlei, I became an Agudist. And in my old age, I'm an Atura Katanik. So I'm meeting students yelling, shouting, cursing, fighting with each other. The Rebbe said this, the Rebbe said this. So I'm proud to tell you, Baruch Hashem, my gestalt has been the same since the day I walked into Moshe the Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik's class when I was a mere teenager. And I'm proud to say I raised students 50 years ago and 30 years ago and a few days ago with essentially exactly the same outlook. And the secret is you have to be a malach. What does a malach mean? I said it a moment ago. Time is not a factor for a malach. To be a Rebbe, you have to live Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, Kohelet at exactly the same time. If you're not capable of doing it, then go into any other profession under the world. I won't embarrass anyone, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be an accountant, whatever you wish. Not a Rebbe. A Rebbe has to be a malach in the full sense of the word. Now, with this being said, why do we have so many scandals? And I'll explain why in a moment, in my humble opinion. But we have to understand, you have to work constantly on keeping your spiritual dimensions great, alive, dynamic. There's an unbelievable Gemara in Bracha, Daf Chaf Tet Amid Aleph, Al tamin bi atzmacha ad yom motcha. Shaharei Yochanan kohen gadol shimesh bekohuna gedola shmonim shana. Ulesof naset satuki. Don't have confidence in yourself until the day you die. Who knows what can happen in life? And I've seen it. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, chief rabbi, turned 80 and became an apikoros. And no one can sit back on his laurels. I'm a Litvak, I'm a nice few hundred years old spiritually, what I was privileged to see, to live, to feel, to experience, to research. I'm a Litvak, and I'm a firm believer a Jew has to learn Torah constantly, ongoing, keep you alive spiritually. But why do we have such problems today? And here we come to a truism that all of us struggle with. The day that Moses Mendelssohn left the ghetto in 1762, we have yet to solve the problem. How can we live as Jews in the big world beyond us? How can we live as Jews in the big world beyond us and raise 98, 99% of our children to be willing to follow in our footsteps. And I quote Mori Rebbe, those of you who have studied with me or study with me via the internet, I quote this 1,000 times over every year. Mori, whenever I say Mori Rebbe, I mean Rav Soloveitchik, who was my Rebbe Mufak. I knew many Gedolei Yisrael, but in my classroom, the Rav sits on my side. Ger v'tosha v'nochi machan. Avram Avinu says to the Hittites, sell me the Morat HaMachpelah, sell me Kiryat Arba, but ger v'tosha v'nochi. On one hand, we are Jews. What does it mean to be a Jew? Shabbat. The world observes Shabbat. I grew up in an Irish-Italian Jewish neighborhood, a third, the old Bronx. And we had good relationships with the Irish until they got drunk. The Italians, we had a good relationship all the time. They had very good values like Jews. It was an amazing thing as far as family goes and drinking goes, etc. But their Sunday was unbelievable. My next door neighbor went to church, caught a mass at 9, 10. He's home within the hour. That's it. Stretches out in front of the TV for the football game of the week with pretzels, with beer. There's no concept of a Shabbat. Kashrut. A guy can travel all over. Today, you're right, it's a different world. I have to say, my students don't know what it was like 50, 60 years ago. You travel out here, B'nai Akiva goes on a hike, Cholamoid Sukkot, Cholamoid Pesach. Immediately you have to say, what will we eat? What will we eat? Today you can. I was at the other end of the world in Australia and I was getting kosher bagels, kosher jelly, kosher peanut butter, Gilepta Chasishatag, if you recall your ancient Chinese. We lived well in Cairns, Australia. But we're different. Our sexual standards, Tarak Mishpacha, and all that goes with it. Go and explain it to Bill Clinton. You think you have a chance? Send him flowers from Jennifer on Friday, the covered shoppers. Think you have a chance? Don't get me sick. I mean, Obama, Al-Pidin, you are not allowed to live in the United States today. The only country, there are three reasons you're allowed to live in Chutz La'aretz. You'll check me out, Larry, arrange your shir in Hilchot Malachim. They should see the three reasons. Let's say you have to live outside of Israel to make a living. All right, Siken Zayin, I don't believe it, frankly. I never made a living in Israel. And you see, I'm surviving. I'm not a youngster in Baruch Hashem. But let's say you have to live outside of Israel to make a living. The only country you would be allowed to live in is Russia. Putin's Russia. Putin still believes in the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. He's against same-sex marriages. Give him credit. You're living in America? I challenge anyone to show me how you're allowed to live in a country that tramples the basic commandments of human existence. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi, I can't go into detail. Gemara in Chulin, Daf Tzadi, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the measure of the treasure. Oh my God. Let me come back here, I get sick. So you see, we're very different. And willy-nilly, by the way, the Rav taught me that. Alapenu v'chamatenu in modern Hebrew, willy-nilly in English, which I don't understand, but it means whether we like it or not, we're influenced by the big world around us. Now, the big world around us has a very simple message. Western world, life, joy, wine, women, song, money. Live and be merry. Tomorrow we may die. And who gives a hoot about yesterday? And remember, anyone who believes in same-sex marriages, and soon I'll be arrested for mention, oh, this is Canada, I don't know what your laws are here, but in New York City, I can be arrested already. For a doctor, a son of a doctor in Israel with a long beard, tzaddikim, spoke out against same-sex marriages last week, 2 weeks ago. Some of the doctors filed charges against him, you know, from North Tel Aviv. It didn't get very far, but they filed charges. So, you see, when you have that attitude, there's no yesterday and you don't care about tomorrow, by definition. We're Jews. We're so different. We have so many other concerns, but the Western world eats away at us. And you see, what is Western civilization? Ultimately, man worships himself, not God. You're the arbiter. You decide. You dictate. Your standards are what counts. Now, by the way, this was already 160, 70 years ago. Alexis de Tocqueville. Anyone here a social historian? Does the name mean anything to you? When Alexis de Tocqueville, he was a Frenchman, visited the United States before the Civil War, he wrote an entire critique of democracy, and he was very insightful. And he spoke about the fact that in democracy, anyone here, my student, I can pick on? Anyone? Who do I have? Where's Leigh Byens? Didn't he tell me he was coming today? So you see, when Leigh Byens went, he said he was coming to this lecture. I tell him maybe he meant tonight. Ah, tonight's a different type of lecture. It's a sheer. Leigh Byens is sitting here. Leigh suffers because in kindergarten, it was a beautiful spring day after a very difficult winter. And the teacher said, children, what are we doing today? Should we go to the zoo or the library? And they voted 24-1 to go to the zoo. Leigh voted to go to the library. He still has to go to a... to get psychological help into today, how those children made fun of him. And you see, this eats upon us. So, a rabbi is eichet a human being, is eichet a mensch. He's not a malach. By the way, I have to apologize. My native Torah language is Yiddish. So you'll say, how does a third generation American, my parents were born in Harlem, how do I come to Yiddish? Those of you who have read my seventh book have the answer. Studied my seventh book. You have to study it from Washington Avenue to Washington Street. Seventh grade on, my rebbeim was survivors. I'm only sitting here thanks to a gentleman named Sempo Sugihara, Seichet Tzadik Livracha. And seventh grade already, I had Reb Gershon Yankel Lubitsch, 8th grade, I had Reb Henoch Fishman, go and dream, I would later be on the same faculty with them at Reitz. And there, they could only speak Yiddish, and we could only speak English, but our hearts met. So if I break into Yiddish, just remind me, I'll translate. So you see, Arav is Eichet HaMensch, is Eichet HaBasav Adam, he's also meat and flesh, and he's influenced. And then, life has this power that, as a litvak, I'll say, if you're not learning Torah, those of you that are Chassidim would say, if we don't go to the Rebbe, you know what happens to you? You become a Mordechai Kaplan. How many of you, I yet gave Mordechai Kaplan a lift in my first car in Israel, early 70s. I had gone Lenachem Mobile to the conservative rabbi where I was the Orthodox rabbi when I still lived in America. And he had also come in Aliyah to Theodore Friedman, Zichrono Livracha. He was a wife, he was a Chassidim graduate. But from that era, everyone became a conservative rabbi or a reform rabbi from all the yeshiva. We all suffered. So, Mordechai, it was raining, and I had to go teach in BMT, and Mordechai Kaplan lived around the corner from BMT. So I remember I gave him a lift, and he shows me, he takes out his fringes. He says, you see, I also wear fringes. So I told him, I know that, Professor Kaplan, but we wear them from different reasons. I wear them because God commanded me to. You wear them because of Judaism as a civilization. That was his famous book. And he was all excited that I knew his book. But you see, what was Mordechai Kaplan? He wore tzitzit out. Shabbos morning, he tied the handkerchiefs around his neck ceremoniously. Everyone should see. But God didn't exist anymore. It was Jewish civilization. And that's the famous story. And it's not anecdotal. I heard that it's absolutely true. That one time on the west side, upper west side of New York, it was pouring rain on Shabbos, And there's Mordechai Kaplan carrying an umbrella. And someone stopped him and said, "Professor Kaplan, you wrapped your handkerchief around your neck. What are you doing with an umbrella?" And he said, "For a civilization, you don't get sick." So you see, you can practice Judaism and put on tefillin and daven. Doesn't change your heart, your gestalt. You're just, I'll use Rakefet's language, it's pretty sharp, but I've used it quite successfully. Think about it. You become a monkey putting on tefillin. Well, you can train a monkey to put on tefillin. I know monkeys. There was a doctor at Dunn. They trained a monkey to recognize, I think it was 150 words that chimpanzee recognized, and it's a serious matter. You can train a monkey, as Professor Slifkin, what you can do with animals, but a monkey putting on tefillin is not a ben Torah. It's a monkey putting on tefillin, not more. Now, you want a living example? One of the greatest scandals we have, and it was all over, and you got to remember, any scandal anywhere across the Torah world makes headlines in all the Israeli press. Not that they're anti-religion, all right, Haaretz is out to chew religion up and throw it down the drain. Religion and Zionism, Haaretz, the owners of Haaretz, the Shokin family, have stated publicly they're willing to lose tens of millions of dollars a year to get rid of Zionism and religion. And you got to give them credit. They have the money to back it up. But even the other newspapers that are not anti-religious, the scandals are unbelievably fascinating. No, who was put into jail for, he'll wind up dying in jail. The sentence was, I think, 54 years, something like that, from Williamsburg. Someone named Weatherman. Now, first of all, the minute you, as living in the Western Hemisphere, hear the name Weatherman, you have to ask a question. Was he a Malach? How many of you know about Malachim? All right, Rakefet lectured on it, and the whole world got excited. My wife's family has Malachim in it. The Malachim were the kids in the late 20s into the 30s on Washington Avenue, 11 blocks from when I grew up. I grew up 180th in Washington. On 169th in Washington, a Rabbi Levine arrived from Europe. This Rabbi Levine was mad at the 6th Lubavitcher Rebbe. He had been a Lubavitcher, but he was mad the Rebbe's not frum enough. He once saw the Rebbe reading a secular book or a general book of knowledge. He complained to Reb Shalom Dover, to the 5th Rebbe, and the 6th Rebbe got away with it, so Chabad was not frum enough for him. And there were kids in Torah Vadas that were coming to see him. He was a big Lamdin, and he knew Tanya, and he was teaching Tanya. And these kids, you see, today people are sitting here in this room with beards. Could you imagine that if you went to Torah Vadas in the 1930s and you grew a beard with payas, with your tzitzit out, they threw you out of Torah Vadas. And if you don't believe me, there's a tshuva from Rabbi Baum, Rabbi Lamb's uncle, wrote a tshuva, or his grandfather, wrote a tshuva. Are you allowed to throw kids out of Torah Vadas for being too frum? The tshuva was written to Mr. Mendelevich, Reb Shraga Feigl Mendelevich. It's so well known that when Artscroll published the biography of Mr. Mendelevich, they couldn't leave it out. And that's an achievement that Artscroll could not color or discolor the history of Torah. Their other books are great when it comes to history, sheker, the sheker, the sheker. And it's very sad because they commit intellectual murder of great people, leave them out, misrepresent them, etc. But that's for a different time. Yes, Rabbi J.J. Schechter a lecture on that. Although I have plenty to say too. So, Weatherman descends from Malachim. Today, what the Malachim do, what the Malachim did, the way the Malachim live, Baruch Hashem, every kid in YU, every second kid who's serious in YU lives that way. Today, there was Hespedim in YU, we celebrated the first Yahrzeit of the founder of Torah for the Western world in Israel, Rabbi Moshe Hurwitz, Whitey Hurwitz, if you recognize the name, the founding dean of BMT. And we had four speakers that night in accordance to when you knew Rabbi Hurwitz. So the first speaker was Rabbi Zev Lev. The second speaker was a guy named Aaron Rothkopf, who knew Rabbi Hurwitz already from 69 on when he was still named Rothkopf. The third speaker was David Miller. The fourth speaker was a Talmud, Danny Bella. So Danny Bella, he's a very well-known Rav today in Ranana, speaks beautiful Hebrew, but in his shul, if you speak anything outside of English, and they allow French now, I understand. French and English classes, not a word of English. I was there Shabbos, one scholar, and I couldn't believe it. Not a word of Hebrew. Excuse me. Not a word of Hebrew. So Danny Bella gets up to speak, and he was fabulous. And he says, I'm a Baal Tshuva from England. I came to Ar Sameach, and then I heard about BMT, that they're terrific classes there. And I switched to BMT, and he says, I walk in the first day, and they come out, this is a very good class, Rabbi Rakefet. He comes into class and he says, Rabbi, here's the son. Short sleeves, no beard, no payas, no tzitzit out. That's a rabbi. And then he said, it was even worse. After class, he went into the base lunch, he said, that's Rabbi Lichtenstein. He's going to give a shiur to Kollel in about 10 minutes. He says, short sleeves, no beard, no payas. That's a rabbi. So, today, Baruch Hashem, you're going to have a beard and payas. But the malachim were ahead of their time. Now, whoever made this sense from one that's a grandson, one of the famous malachim. No, ladies, pardon me for saying this. They say he smudged his glasses when he walked out on the streets of Williamsburg. This is something new. I mean, this is, you know, beyond comprehension, but I guess if you have separate streets for men, for women, separate buses. God created a world with men and women. God created a world with pigs and cows. You have to learn how to differentiate. Three bunch life, learn how to live like a normal being, not be a sexual fiend. I mean, it's... So he would walk with smudged glasses. It's something in Williamsburg, they tell me. You can buy them. He shouldn't look at women. No, I don't have to go further. What the man was sent to jail for more than 40 years. And you got to give all the credit to that woman who came, that young lady who came forth and testified. All the credit. So we have terrible, terrible problems. Chilul Hashem from one end of the world to another. Sexual problems, monetary problems. My daughter, some of you know, my eldest daughter is very, very famous. And through my books I read with Rabbi Lau, whenever I met the chief rabbi, he would call me, "Oh, ata abba shel hato'enet teina. You are the father of teina." When my books in the Rav came out, I told Teina, "Unfortunately for you, you're going to become my daughter again. Watch when they meet up. Oh, ata." My daughter is famous because she was the first one to pass. So I can't go into all details. She was teaching at Chorev, working for a master's at Hebrew U in English literature. And there was an ad that a new program was beginning to train women to be rabbinic pleaders. And she had just gone through a lawsuit in her building where everyone was from about expanding, and it went through the Bate Dinim, and then there was an appeal to the Supreme Rabbinic Court. So she was interested. It said, if you're a college graduate, religious, and know how to learn a Daf Gemara, this program is for you. So she was the first lady to pass all the exams in Kosher Mishpat and Evanessa and get Hasmacha from the chief rabbinate. She's been practicing for many years. Then she went to law school. She's on the bar. Of course, in Israel, you have to be able to go into a Beit Din and a Beit Mishpat. Beit Din is to get, but you, many times Beit Mishpat are the financial arrangements and all that goes through a divorce, lo aleinu, where the only winners are the lawyers and the accountants, and the children are the ones who suffer. And believe me, I have seen that in depth. So, my daughter told me years ago, she said, you know who the heck this Metzger is? He just took $160,000 to do a conversion that no one would touch. I said, it can't be, it can't be. Well, if you're following what happened in Israel, it turned out that one of the charges, they can absolutely prove, it seems to have the canceled check, some oligarch from Russia suddenly decided he wanted his wife and children to be Jewish. Now, I don't have to tell you, if you've learned a little bit about Judaism, about Torah, Shulchan Aruch, it's a sugi in Yavama, two places. It's not much in the Gemara, because there was never much conversion. But a conversion has to have a basic Kabbalah HaMitzvah. You just can't become a Jew by Brit Milah and going to Mikvah. It has to have an exception, an acceptance of the yoke of Yiddishkeit. No one would handle this conversion. Now you can fill in the rest of the story. So, money, what money can do, it's frightening. Absolutely frightening. I had something similar, which I interpret the same way, just recently, where someone brought in a cake on Yom Tov, out of the car. So I right away, the question is someone drives a car on Yom Tov, delivers a cake, can you use the cake? I had a deeper question. How do you trust the kashrut if they're driving on Shabbat, driving on Yom Tov? Oh, they said to me, this rabbi eats in the house. Then I met the rabbi, and I asked him. He said, no, they don't drive on Yom Tov. They don't drive on Shabbos. Impossible. No? And then I came back to where I was, and I asked the rabbi, I asked the president, I asked a few other balabatim among my talmidim who appreciate what I did for them decades ago. They all swore, no, these people ride there. And then I found out he had gotten money from some charity fund. All right, at least it was for charity, not for his pocket, some heavy money. But money, sex, Western world, Clinton, Obama, the leaders, what life is all about. We become good, practicing Jews on one level, and on the other level, no more than a monkey putting on tefillin or lighting Shabbos candles. Now, are there any telltale signs? What do you have to look for? I mean, what happened in Washington, D.C., I don't know if you know anything about that shul, but it's a very sad story. The previous rabbi, whose daughter was a dear student of mine, knew, can anyone fill in the sentence? The previous rabbi was killed in the shul, unsolved murder until today. Rabbi Rabinovich, unsolved murder. This is a shul in the shadow of the Capitol, within walking distance of the Capitol and the White House. Unsolved murder until today.
What year?
Has to be, I'll tell you in a second. They came out, Leon Hellman. Has to be in the 80s. Yeah. Check it out, Rabinovich. I think his first name is Pinchas. Has given an elch of Rav, killed in the shul. They suspect it was a demented Russian. Unsolved. The second part of it, you're an American citizen. Imagine to live in a country where you can murder someone in a house of worship within spitting distance of the White House, and it's unsolved. It's also frightening. And then you, the new rabbi and all that has happened, it's beyond words. I mean, to take, pardon me, ladies, to take a mikvah and put up cameras in a mikvah. God, even Stalin wouldn't do this. Even Lenin wouldn't do this. Am I right or wrong? Lenin, by the way, may have very well been Jewish. That's a different story. No details now. But some of you know I spent 10 years working for the Mossad and Communist Russia, my wife and myself, and I did a lot of reading on Lenin. It's very fascinating. He recorded 6 speeches, I believe it was, before he died for the Russian people. One of the speeches was against anti-Semitism. Later on, they reissued these speeches under Khrushchev, I think it was, in a more modern form. They had records already, and that speech was never reissue, the one against anti-Semitism. But then, with the fall of communism and records available, it turns out he had a Jewish a grandmother, could even be Jewish grandparents altogether. So, what can you look for? How do you know you have a rabbi, you have a spiritual leader? I did a little investigation, and I spoke with people who knew. I know some of the people involved, but I certainly didn't know the rabbi from Washington, D.C., although I had been introduced to him at the Kotel once or twice. Arrogance. Arrogance is a very horrendous trait. And when you see that trait, someone who's very self-centered, and he has that attitude, I know more than you. I'm smarter than you. That trait can lead to self-aggrandizement, ultimately self-worship, and when you're on that level, you're above any law, any concept of decency. You are the boss. You are the king. You can do whatever you want. Arrogance. And I checked out. I have students all over the world. There were a few cases of rabbis sitting in jail now. In at least two of the cases, they told me these rabbis thought they were smarter than when you got to know them. They had a certain arrogance. If you see that arrogance, run away. He's a very arrogant guy because he's a Jew, a monkey at the same time, and he's succeeding. That is one telltale sign. What do you look for in a rabbi? And here I can speak a little easier. Rav Chaim Brisker left a will at Tzavah. I write about this in either the first or second volume of the Rav, the World of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. Left at Tzavah. All he wanted on his tombstone was one word, Rav Chesed, that he was a rabbi of loving kindness. You know? And by the way, when the tombstone was uncovered, when communism fell, and you can get into Poland, and they discovered that it was shattered, now it's replaced, that's what it said on the tombstone. Among other things, they didn't listen to leave out any other titles, but Rav Chesed. And the Rebbe always used to say, as a matter of fact, I believe it's in Ish Halacha, he actually wrote it, but I heard it from him many times. You know what Chesed Rav Chaim had? Think of this in today's circumstances, what's happened to our world. Lo aleinu, enlightenment, Brisk, or Brest-Litovsk, as it was known in Polish. In Brisk, too, there were problems. And occasionally, an unmarried girl got pregnant. They came to Rav Chaim. He would give the family money for the girl to go to a different city and come back a year and a half later, have the baby, and she could go back and say, I was married, got divorced, something went wrong. My husband went to America, went to Canada. That's Chesed. That's Chesed. That's Rav Chaim. In my most famous book, my second book, which has just come out in the fourth edition, OU, pardon me for talking about my books, but there is some good material in them. The Silver Era, the Rabbi Eliezer Silver and his generation. So Rav Eliezer Silver describes, he came into Rav Chaim's cloys in Brisk, where Rav Chaim sat all day and studied and taught and answered questions and developed ideas, and students sat around. And one time he comes in on the bench, right at the entrance to the room where Rav Chaim is sitting, a beggar is stretched out sleeping with his feet up at the works, and Rav Chaim wouldn't let anyone wake the person up. That's Chesed. Beggar. Rachmanis. Tell you what happened to me. B'didi havi yovdeh. It happened to me. And this is, a lot has been written. What I engendered, Rav Avadya published in the ninth volume of Yabia Omer, this response literature. It's based upon a dummy who teaches in Griscolo named Aaron Rakefet. What happened was, my wife and I pulled, you don't have to believe anything I'm saying, because the Mossad came out with a book in Hebrew, the Netiv HaDmama, so you don't have to believe Washington, Netiv HaDmama has it. Does the Mossad lie? You can think about that. My wife and I had a unique mitzvah, which no one in this room has, redeeming a Jewish family, Pidyon Shvuyim. Again, I can't go into details, but when we first time we went to Russia, we were overwhelmed by a certain family, the Essas family of Moscow. And I formed a committee, my wife and myself were the committee, Feldheim printed up for me flyers, and I learned the trick of getting, I could even reach the president of the United States, but that would be an overkill. The trick of reaching any politician, anyone in the State Department, is you have to know a Jewish donor who has input. Lo and behold, I taught daughters of people who had input, this senator, that senator. But that didn't do it. Through a student of mine, a niece of Izzy Singer, Rabbi Dr. Israel Singer, the Mankal, executive director of the World Jewish Congress, I got to Izzy Singer. And he's a Ben Torah, and he, you know, knew his niece studied with me, and Bronfman of Canadian origins, and you have to give the man all the credit in the world. At the end of 5 years of trying everything, I read my Shishera, it's a whole story. I got a call from the Mossad, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Pashat Toldot, 1985, right on my way to leave the house to go to the Kotel, and the person talking to me is second to Rav Soloveitchik, the man I've met that I respect most in my life. Later he went to Pras Yisrael when all this can become public. Aryeh Kroll, Zeicher Tzadik Levracha, and Aryeh Kroll says to me, Anachnu Matzdiim Lecha HaRav Rakefet Lo Hemantu Shetatzliach, we salute you, we didn't believe you would succeed. And he said to me, Bronfman is getting SS out. And it has to be said to Bronfman's credit, Zichrono Livracha, there was a multi-$100 million deal on the table with the Seagram selling the Stolzhenaya vodka from Russia. And with the deal, he made one additional condition. The SS family has to be released. And all right. When that happened, my stock went up. And Chabad, the head of Shomrei Yahadut Roshe, it's the Rebbe gave it name, Shamir. Shomrei Mitzvah, Yahadut Rusia, Shamir, means a very good, God invented that to cut the stones for the temple for Shlomo HaMelech. And the head of Shamir called me and said, we'd like to meet with you, we need a miracle. And I go meet him on my way to Machon Vold, I remember it like yesterday, and he tells me he did one miracle and another miracle, a woman needs chalitza in Russia. This woman was from Russia. She comes to Israel and she marries an older gentleman and they have no children. And he dies. The brother has to give chalitzas behind the Iron Curtain. Without going into details again, I made contact, I did what I could, but the head is working, I'm giving a shiur in Griscola, looking at a Talmud of mine who I remember until this moment, I read about it in Washington, I was looking at him, Rabbi Benjamin Blau in Cleveland, his father was my chaver. Benjamin Binney was one of three Blau brothers I taught. And looking at him, I said, I can solve the problem. Svek Sveka. Tre Rube. What it means is very simple. Halachically, if you have one doubt, and it's and you're involved with the Torah law, it doesn't help. If you have two doubts, you can overthrow even the Torah law. I said, here we have two doubts. One, She married a man in Israel, much older, who had serious medical problems which she didn't know about. Had she known, she would have never married him. What rubric is that called? No, mekach ta'ut. She made a mistake. Reb Moshe has two cases like this where he's mati without a get. Secondly, if the man in Russia, the brother-in-law, is head of a kolhoz, that means he's a communist. If he's a communist, it means he doesn't believe. He's a muma. If the brother is a muma, if she has to get chlitz, it could be a muma doesn't count. To use halachic language, there's no zika. There's no connection. No hindrance. No. I then call in a lawyer that I had sent to Russia. He only charges you $1,000 an hour to speak to him. But what can he do? Rakef had sent him and his brother to Russia. He owes me. He went into the Beit Din and presents the case and everything. And all the Dayanim say, oh, Rakef, brilliant, brilliant shmet. But no one has the backbone, the hatir. So they tell us, go to Rav Avadja. No, how do you get to Rav Avadja? Very simple. No one can get into Rav Avadja at this point. I taught his daughter, and Rav Avadja knew me. So I got right into Rav Avadja, and Rav Avadja was just unbelievable. He's sitting here, I'm sitting here, and he looks at me. I need to face otcha. That's a date. You're right. I understand you. And he tells the lawyer, and you'll see his name, that's the tshuva's address to him, you'll see his name in volume 9, he tells the lawyer, in 10 days I'll give you a tshuva lahalacha. And what I said, a 22-page, long legal page document, type, thousands of makarot, Rav Avadja, Kadako, Bekodesh, to permit the woman to remarry, but because it's so revolutionary, two other great rabbanim have to agree with me. I put another Talmud of mine to work, and we got Rav Shol Yisraeli, and we got Rav Shalom Mashash, and all the tshuvot were later published. If you read Washington, you'll get the source where they were published, and then Rav Avadja published this tshuva. You know what hurt me? People came to me, and they said, how are you related to that woman? I said, I'm not related. I said, I met her for 3 minutes when I needed her signature on the documents authorizing, I'll mention the name, the lawyer, Dov Frimmer, to go into Beit Din to represent her. You're not related to her? I looked at them, tell me, a rabbi's job is only to help people he's related to? Where's the chesed? Where's the rabbi? Where's the Reb Chaim in you? Whose feet did I sit at? If not the Rub's feet. And here I'll tell you a beautiful story, an absolute true story. I know it from my witnesses, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Soloveitchik. You all know the name. When his wife died, every Friday, the Rub went to the cemetery. Every Friday. People yelled at him, shouted at him, Rebbe, how can you act like this? The Vilna Gaon didn't go to the cemetery. The Brisker tradition is not to go to the cemetery. And the Rav shrugged it off and said, Was kan ich tan? What can I do? When my wife died, as he said in public, a part of me went down to the grave as well. No, you all know Chodesh Elul, Jews go to the cemetery. So on Friday, he's at the cemetery. And the Balabas, it probably was Abel of Oven, Sechon Tzadik Lebracha, who drove him, is signaling to him, Rebbe, we have to get home, we've got to go back to Brookline. I was at the cemetery, I know where it is, it's outside of Brookline. Erev Shabbos. And just then, an American man and woman come over to the Rav, and they say, Rabbi, could you say a kilmoni for us? They thought he was a shamus, you know, that hang out on the cemeteries to make an extra dollar, to make a dollar. And the Rav walks over and the people are watching, the driver walks over, makes the kilmoni and blesses them. and they put a $20 bill in his hand. And he says, no, you don't have to pay me. And they thought they weren't paying him enough. And he absolutely feels, no, 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 you don't understand. You don't have to pay me. You just have a good Shabbat. You should know that later, the person watching all this contacted this couple. They were distant from Yiddishkeit, but he knew them. And he said, do you know who you were talking to? To make a long story short, Monday morning they came to Maimonides and made a very substantial donation in honor of the Rav. But it shows you a Rav, the humility, the humaneness, the decency. I couldn't be a rabbi. I couldn't be a Hasidic rabbi. I have a very big title, the Maplewood Rebbe. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand. I built the first Orthodox shul in suburban Essex County. Today, the area is filled with Torah. Maplewood has an era of go and dream what happened. We barely had a week. Who had a minion of Shemesh Shabbos, 62? I was there to 69. I went from there to the boat, and I have my office hanging, the farewell invitation to the brunch the day before we went in Aliyah. And to be a Rebbe, you got to have a good sounding Golistic name. You can't say you're the Yerushalayim Dike Rebbe, the Tel Aviv Rebbe. Ah, but you got to pick Chamdikova, some name from the Golis. Maplewood a Rebbe sounds great. And I have many Chassidim. I could be a Rebbe very easily. I can grow a beard, not a problem. It's only one other problem. To be a Rebbe, you have to be able to listen to all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. And you see, this is a Rav. This is what you have to look for. This is the Chesed. Now, I want to go one step further. And I want to throw out an idea that is haunting us right now. And maybe I have a solution. So far, no one has reacted because everyone has vested interest, and I recognize that. How can we avoid these tragedies? And I know more than you know, because I've been teaching 56 years, and I've taught so many rabbis, and I gave up all my collegiate teaching 15 years ago already just to concentrate on the Kollel, and I'm in Yerushalayim, and I have students all over the world will send me any press release, anything they think the Rebbe should know, from Judaism to the New York Yankees, right through. The poor secretary of the Kollel, half her time is spent working for me, printing out all the emails and the books that come in and the manuscripts. Oh my. Okay. We have a terrible problem today. It's in the news. Those of you who know what's going on in Israel, there are no other problems in Israel. Baruch Hashem, they shoot in rockets from the south. They have tunnels dug up north. 100,000 rockets are waiting to be fired. Baruch Hashem, we have no problems like that. Those are secondary. Our real problem is Rabbi Shlomo Steve, as I know him, Riskin in Efrat. You're up to date or you're not up to date? The world is shaking. I'll wait till the New York Times picks it up. Oh boy, it says, I'm freilich. It's going to be happy here. Going to be happy. Happy hour. And they will pick it up. The Wall Street Journal will probably pick it up as well. But they'll pick it up with more mechubedik, in a more honorable way. Now, without going into detail, maybe Shabbos I'm not going into more detail, but I just want to make one point. This past year, if I give you the exact figures, I believe it's 5, Rabbi Riskin ordained 5 women. And I saw with my own eyes, students showed me the Xerox of the ordination. And it's mamish a ktav rabbonit. It's one level beneath Yori Yom, if you understand what I'm saying. It's a real ordination. He started a school for Dayanut, for women to be judges. We have a big problem. Ger v'tosha v'nachi imachem. In our world, a man is a man, a woman is a woman. They both, to quote the Rav, both created in the image of God, both with the same sanctity. But there's a different personage, physically, biologically, emotionally, psychologically, etc., etc. And we want to keep that distinction. I don't want to be alive in a world where a man is not a man and a woman is not a woman. If women wouldn't be women, men wouldn't get married. Malil, etzarazu, a wife, expenses, children. Who needs it? And I've had students who never married. I have a classmate who never married. All right. It's a sad story. Baruch Hashem, I'm married. I have great-grandchildren today. And I'm proud because Baruch Hashem, all my descendants are solid. My brother, he has a tribe unto himself. My brother Levi, Dr. Levi Rothkopf. Kulam Yireim Vishlemim. My brother's descendants are either big officers in the army or they're learning around the clock. But they're all totally committed. Baruch Hashem. Okay. These are real problems. The world tells us unisex, no sex. We're in it. It's very frightening. And what's even more frightening is your leaders are going to run with it. I hope not in Canada. You may be more conservative here with a small C. But in the United States, it is absolutely frightening. In Europe, I don't think there's one person left who believes in God, believes in the New Testament. Forget about the Old Testament. There are a few in the Scandinavia. Chaim is their rabbi. He has a whole thing from the OU. My son-in-law, Rabbi Chaim Eisen. He's the rabbi of the Scandinavian Gentiles who love Zion, love Israel. And he lectures to them and website, and they interact with them. When they come to Israel, he goes Shabbat, makes a Shabbat, and explains everything. But outside of that handful, I don't believe there's anyone left with any religion. It's past tense. Now, this is a tremendous problem. If you take the Western world, take a look. Men, women, it. Same-sex marriages, they don't... I was just told there's a proposal. Where is it, in Canada? Did you tell me, Larry, or did I hear it yet in Stanford? That on a birth certificate, someone is proposing they shouldn't write male or female because maybe the child will want to change his sex.
Here in British Columbia.
Unbelievable. We have a real problem. And it's affected our world. And there's certain changes in life. The Chafetz Chaim already alludes to it in his commentary on Masechet Sota. Again, these are all things I can lecture on for hours, but it's not. The Chafetz Chaim already said, times have changed. In his youth, if I can paraphrase the Chafetz Chaim, her father wrapped a ribbon around her head and handed her over to her husband, and she never left the confines of the Jewish Pale settlement. In his time later, women are going to college. Women are leaving home. And the women are learning every type of subject. And if we don't teach them Torah, they'll throw away everything. Sri Deyesh, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, recognized the name in the original printing, Chelek Bet. Shuvachet, this is a Litvak, who winds up in Berlin. And he describes how he comes to see Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer, and they tell him Rabbi Israel is teaching right now. Go in and sit in the back of the Beis Medrash. He walks into the Beis Medrash. It's filled with women hearing a lecture from Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer. And Rabbi Chil Yaakov says he was ready to faint. He says, in Lithuania, if you would teach women, they put you in Cheirim. And he says, here, when I saw what was happening, the greatest achievement, he says, women who have doctorates and are in every profession, and they're wearing shekels, they're totally from. He was blown away. So you see, what are we going to do? Change the clock, put women back, lock them into the kitchen? We have to face reality. So now the question is, halachically, and this is what's haunting us, Avi Weiss, I don't have to tell you, Blue Greenberg, if there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way, which is tantamount to saying, halacha does not count. David Hartman, who I was so close with, 56, he was a role model in my life. I write about him in Washington, see what I write about him, you'll find it interesting. David Hartman, his new book, his latest book, begins going back to Montreal. A congregant came to him and said, "Rabbi, you know I'm a Kohen? I want to marry a Grusha. Will you perform the wedding? I'll marry a Giyoret." He says, "Not only will I perform the wedding, but tell every Kohen who wants to marry a Grusha or a Giyoret, a convert, I will perform the wedding." Ger v'toshav. The toshav knocks out the ger. Now, then you have a woman. I have an appointment with my many doctors when I get back to Israel. This doctor, that doctor. My dermatologist is my own student. I believe from Montreal originally. You know, here's a woman giving the Rebbe saps, telling him how to treat this, this discoloration, that discoloration. A medical doctor, tremendous reputation, Leona Fisher, if you recognize the name. What are you going to do? And here's another woman. She can be a top quality lawyer. Here's another woman. She's a top accountant. Another woman, a computer genius. And you have women who want to study Torah, learn Torah. And then they have this desire. Why should I be any different than a man? He can be a rabbi. Why can't I? Again, the conflict, the ger v'toshav battling each other. Yankees versus the Toronto Blue Jays. I have it right, the Blue Jays? Okay, I know the Boston Red Sox when I was growing up. That was the rivalry. Who heard of Blue Jays? Baltimore Orioles, who heard of that when I was growing up? Anaya Meisel, Anaya Geschichte. By the way, I have to tell you, Chabad solved the problem. There's so much we can learn from Chabad. What are they called? How many of you know Chabad terminology? A rabbi goes out to the middle of nowhere with his young wife. He's a shaluach and she's a shlucha. She has the exact same title. Sent by the Rebbe. Not a shaliach. Shaluach. It's a very important difference in Hebrew. A shaliach, I'm delivering a $5 bill to you. Someone gave me $5 to give to you. Big deal. A shaluach, the Rebbe had made a shik to be makariv every last Jew in this forlorn neighborhood where no one knows that there's a Shabbat in the world. I have to bring you back to Yiddishkeit. And many times the woman, the shlucha, is more active and more vivacious and more famous and more successful than her own husband. Okay? They solved the problem. So I made a simple proposal on the basis of all that I've seen and all the tragedy and all the terrible things that have happened. These women, I would give them a title, Yo'atzot Ruchaniyot, spiritual advisors. And on every shul, including the bayit here, you have on the staff, you have a rabbi, you have an associate rabbi. I said, whatever staff you need, it's a tremendous shul. I know... Thank God, I'm not rabbi here. That's all I can say. Don't take it seriously. What do you have, more than 800 families? Oh, my gosh. I had, by the time I left Maplewood, I probably had about 60 families. I thought it was too much already. So, you have a woman on the staff. And rabbis should be enjoined from counseling women on a one-to-one basis. Do I have to give you a list of Rabbanim, the scandals we have had? What kind of woman's getting divorced? She's crying on the rabbi's lap. No, he's also a Basar V'dam. Ezeichet HaMensh. He's also Rabbi Pot Monkey. Ger V'toshav. Right or wrong? Women, converts are coming to convert. And here I have to tell you, I told this to the Balabatim in Georgetown. Again, I taught some of their children, I taught some of them myself, I know some, you know, Yushlamia from all over the world. They said that the joke that went around the shul is that, gee, the only humans converting to Judaism are young, beautiful women. Understand what I'm saying? I said, so why didn't you raise that question? What's going on here? You're also at fault. You should have smelled, but all right, I understand them. Rabbi, Talmud Chacham, who could dream Nevertheless, where there's smoke, there's fire. So let me reiterate and conclude. That's a very serious proposal, and I've thrown it out once before in Hollywood, Florida, and I got absolutely no response. And bear in mind, the president of Rabbinical Council of America, Lenny Mitanke, is my dear student. The executive vice president is my dear student. I retain a very close relationship until this very moment, Mark Dratch. And no response whatsoever. Deafening silence. If I'll quote another dear student, Steve Brzezinski, in one of his blogs wrote, because we had one rotten apple, does the whole rabbinate have to suffer? I'm aware of that, but I have a whole list of names. And why can't we give the women an outlet that no one will object to? You understand? We're not giving them the title rabbi. We're not telling them they can be Masadra Kedushin, which is the least of the problems. But much more, we're not telling them they can handle a bait and forget. We're not telling them that they can be Masadra Get, etc., etc. We're not telling them they can be Adam, but we're telling them they can do what they can within the feminine mystique. Got it? And it's not a contradiction. Yoatzot ruchaniyot. I love it. Yoatzot talacha. But we'll take questions. I want to finish and we'll take questions. I'm watching the clock because we got to dab mincha. I want to make another point before I conclude and make this clear as well. It is beyond my comprehension how what we call in modern Hebrew, and it's not pejorative but descriptive, the Haredi world, what you call, I think, the black world, the black half world, whatever term you use, you shouldn't go to the police. Rabbis have to decide whether you go to the police when a teenage girl, two teenage girls, three teenage girls come and tell similar stories. And by the way, in the Mossad, I had all types of lessons in this on a different level. But we were told how to deal with what we're told in Russia. People always see things through their own prisma. But you take stories, you put them on top of another. What corresponds, you can be certain is truth. What doesn't correspond, you can interpret. But what corresponds, Rabbi, tell me. Rabbi, were you trained in sexual abuse? And how to tell, and how to describe, and how to analyze? Were you trained in taking evidence from a victim? Now, I know in Israel, in our police forces, we have divisions of men and women, and now they have Charediyot, and now a number of women from Bnei Brak became police officers, trained to deal with these cases. Who are the rabbis? I don't know. I would say, what are you bothering the rabbi for? Let him sit and learn. So like, paskin and ashayla, let him be a lamdan. These rabbis must have great memories, because if I would be as busy as that, every shayla asked the rabbi, when the heck can you learn? I'm sorry, I don't know. There are not many Rabbaran Lichtensteins in the world. Rabbaran went through Shas from 14 to 16. He never went through Shas again al HaSeda. He knew every syllable by heart till he took ill at the end of his life. But we're plain humans. With that learning, with that harvard and learning, have to continue learning, have to master kol haTorah kol kata kanzel. We'll try. We'll never get there. A good word from the Rav. Talmid chacham. You always have to be a talmid, trying to become a chacham. If you think you're a chacham, you've lost the battle. So please go to the police immediately. I imagine in Canada, I imagine in New York, you have a trained police force, that they have a division that deals with this. They are experts. All right, it could be the girl that said, well, she's mad at the rabbi, he gave her a low grade. All right, I believe the police will know how to ferret it out, how the police will know how to understand, how to decipher, how to investigate. And I totally, 1,000% disagree. Oh, wow. Involve rabbis? Spare them. Let the professionals do what they're trained to do. If a rabbi takes that training and the police hire him to be in that investigative department, so he's there, the Torah detective, Kokeret, Yevrit, not as a rabbi. So my dear friends, first of all, I want to thank my student Larry for bringing me here. He piggybacked on Stamford, Connecticut. Stamford, Connecticut, I gave 6 lectures. They declared me the Gadol Hadar. The lectures were taking candy from a baby. You understand what I'm saying? Rabbi Lichtenstein, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Revel, Rabbi Belkin, the Rav, Rabbi Kutler. Believe me, you don't lose your strength or ability on those lectures. But here, Larry gave me a task, pluralism in halacha tonight. Okay? Zomen Zayn Gesund. How do I know I can trust my rabbi? All right. Baruch Hashem and Bekein Hal. We'll get on the plane, we'll bin Shkaimul and get back to reality. So what have we said today? We developed a theme with Ger Vitoshev, and it's something that haunts us. None of us have the perfect answer. I've often said that if any school of Jewish Hashkafa had the perfect answer, that all our children would remain strong, I'd be the first to sign up. Even if men putting on a strangle and growing a beard, Yiddishkeit is too precious to me to lose. If they have the answer, I'm number one online. But none of us have the perfect answer. I live the way I live. Everyone's entitled to make their choice. But just remember, halacha is a frame around the picture. You paint the picture, but don't break the frame. That's what has to unite all of us. I spoke about America. I spoke about the interaction. I spoke about a rav. Arrogance is the worst trait a spiritual leader can have. A good heart, humility, and chesed, Reb Chaim, the Rav at the cemetery, Rakefet offended that people thought that Reisa Taratovskaya, that I'm related to her. That's why I'm working for her. You should know, I spoke about that, Aaron Lichtenstein, Reb Aaron came. It was the last time we were together. He was still essentially well outside of the Parkinson's. And I spoke about it. And there was a whole halakhic lecture, and then I spoke about this part of it. It was all on that topic. And he embraced me and hugged me. He was very moved by the mention of Reb Chaim and what I spoke about here. That's a rough. And then I made a rakefet proposal, which you can laugh at, not laugh at. We do have a role for women. And it might very well satisfy this quest on the part of the feminine personality today. And we have to learn from Chabad. Shaluach, shlucha, think about what I'm saying. And not only that, when they have a conference of their shluchat, go online and hear some of them speak, they make me look like a pauper, you understand, in speech, in dramatics, in thought, in hashkafa, in outlook. It's amazing. One year, I was at the Aguda convention and at the Shluchim convention. One was a funeral and one was a wedding. And I heard the Aguda convention, this is that zenit, no good, no good, no good, no good, no good. And I grew up in the 1940s. You're telling me no good? When in the whole Bronx there were 3-4 people who were under 70 and above 15 who were Shema Shabbos. No good? You hear Chabad. And the roll call, the shluchim across the world, how every, and I'm saying them, I know Chabad. My son-in-law, my oldest son-in-law, was in the army 20 years. And when he got out of the army, he works for the government in another aspect of security. He's been all over the world, every nook and corner you can mention. So the first thing he does when he's assigned where he goes next, he contacts the Chabad shaluach, shluchim there. Sometimes he arrives, there's kosher food in the hotel waiting for him. So I know what Chabad, Baruch Hashem. I want to conclude, this perhaps is the secret of Ger Vitoshev. The Gemara in Shabbos, the Chafala from the Bet, where the Gemara talks about my Chanukah. What is Chanukah? Shenech nesu yevanim laheichal. Timu kol ashpanim shebeheichal. V'lo matzu elapach echad shashemim shahaya munach b'chokmo shel Kohen HaGadol. They went in Hanukkah, and they found that all the oil was defiled, and all they found was one cruse of kosher oil, and it should have burned. One day it burned 8 days. There's only one problem, the Gemara I read to you. There are a lot of extra words. Well, the Gemara had to say, my Hanukkah. They went into the temple and found one cruse of kosher oil. Why did they mention that all the other oil was defiled? If you say you found one cruse of kosher oil, it's understood there was no other kosher oil available, and that's what they lit. You know what the Gemara is telling us? You have to know how to differentiate. It's not just Hanukkah to light the one cruse you found, but to know that the others were not kasher, were not tahar, were not pure. And this is the secret to living in the big world in which all of us live today. Western culture is beautiful, magnificent, when it serves us, the human being, humanity, and Torah. But when it's impure, we have to know to walk away from it. Thank you very much, and until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya, and to Larry I say, 28 seconds to Mincha. What did you want to ask, Rabbi? Do you remember? I'm sorry.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for your words, and I'm humbled that you're the description of a Rav, and I hope to be able to one day live up to them. I'm very intrigued by your proposal about the Yo'etzet Ruchanit.
Right.
And I just want to make an observation about one potential pitfall of that model that Rav Rakefet is suggesting. When I was in smaller communities, I had a lot of relationships with conservative and reform rabbis.
Right.
And I know that the major issue that they were battling as far as skandalim were concerned, where there were multiple members of the clergy in the congregation, some male and some female. And the biggest Reform temple in San Diego, I remember it clear as day, the rabbi was brought down by his chazanit because she had implicated him having had a short affair 8 years prior to that. My point is that, and I don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you what's coming. At some point in the future, it may not be this year, it may not be in 10 years from now, I don't know, but you're going to have an Orthodox shul that has a rabbi on staff and has a woman on staff, call her whatever title you like, and the next scandal for them is going to be that the rabbi is having an affair with the woman on staff who's the rabbinic counterpart. And I'm just saying that the reason why Chabad is so successful is because they're married.
Yeah,
so,
wife.
Right. We have a rabbi and a rebbetzin. When the rebbetzin is working on all four pistons and she's her husband's partner, that's the most healthy, wholesome, and successful model.
Right. No, I agree with you. Listen, as long as men and women walk the face of the earth, we have a Torah. Why do we read in Yom Kippur everything about such indecent sexual behavior? It's Yom Kippur. So you know what the Chazal already say, because the Yetzer Hara ain't up a trepas al rayot. But I'll put it this way. The list of rabbis I know who have had ran off with women they were counseling, you have to go further to Los Angeles, you know what happened there? How many children he redeemed. Pidyon HaBen. And then he runs off with a grusha and says he's not a Kohen. No, you're redeemed by him. You're redeemed by him. What do you do? I mean, it's overwhelming, let alone what went on in New York at Lincoln Square Synagogue with a very famous family that you know from your youth, where you were educated. I'm not making this up. So you're right. There's that danger. I hope percentage-wise it'll be infinitesimal to what we're dealing with otherwise. But in an ideal world, you see, look, the women today are independent. I have students, married rabbis, they made clear they are not rebbetzins. There's a rabbi out on the coast who you know in a very important shtella who's suffering because his wife is a dentist. She's my student, she's a dentist, she has her own practice. Some of those malabatim, you know, are very well-to-do people who think because they made a lot of money, they know everything. And they're upset that the rebbetzin doesn't devote enough time. She has a dental practice like Sapatsmashfase. But what do you want? If we're educating a woman, we have to give her the same free choice that we give a man. But I accept, I'll tell you, there's a political problem. Because let's say you appoint a woman on staff, and you're in Toronto. Right away, the right wing here will declare you a conservative synagogue, a female rabbi. That's a political problem.
I don't
problem.
Need to appoint a woman on staff for them to call me. But I
want to end off. I want to tell you one story. You know that there's a Tzomet microphone. So I went into Tzomet. I know Tzomet. I know the people. I know Rabbi Yisrael Rosen. So I went in. I asked him, you know, this, that, the other. I can tell you that Tzomet microphone halachically is not a problem. But it's a political problem. 70 years ago, the Rav, if you know the machlokes between Baltimore and Rabbi Soloveitchik, over, are you aware that in Baltimore they were matir microphones?
Yes, right.
Rabbi Levy, there were matir microphones. Today, I say these microphones are mutter, but it's a political problem. So I was in a shul in Deerfield Beach. I got up to speak, 1,000 people there. The last 200 certainly couldn't hear a word. During the week, they use a microphone. So I told the rabbi, he's a wonderful rabbi. I said, you have no problem putting in this Tzomet system because your median age is 90 or over. Dabin Haben Rachmanis, people who can't hear. He got so, he kissed me, you know, he never thought of that. So I hope they'll follow through, because it's a Rachmanis on people who want to hear Torah and don't have full hearing. And then you have speakers like myself who don't have a powerful voice after 56 years of yelling, shouting, crying, and laughing in the classroom. Can we meet again in health and happiness? Das v'dan yashre yoshve
yitkecha. Thank you, Rabbi Kefet. Rabbi Kefet is speaking tonight at the Bayit at 8 o'clock. As he said, on the topic of diversity of opinion in halacha, and he's speaking a number of speaking opportunities over Shabbat. Thank you.
What with your chai? Oh, how are you? Baruch Hashem. Oh, it's good to see you. Good to see you. You're telling me the line in the middle of a tragedy.
And I'm running on
Jack. You know, he fell.
He's coming along.
Up in the Delta, and you're afraid to walk straight.
The mic is still on.
I told my wife, I'm going for a cane shot.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going for a cane. Oh, it's good to see you.
Right.
Oh, love to the children. Remember, they caught a ball. They did a ball. Remember?
So, you know, you move. You downsize. So there's a huge box in your tapes. So my youngest son asked me to put it away for him for when he gets
but tell him it's all the one you need.
Oh, I'll tell him. But you know, there's nothing like these tapes.
I don't want to redo it because I have more material to teach.
Yeah, it sounds like you have confidence.
No, I have a lot of, very heavy work in material. Thank you. You're just strong and I'm good news and not like that. Not very much.
Sarah Westerholt, originally from Baltimore. I actually have a letter that was from my grandmother about the microphone issue. So I have to pick a sense of interest, probably.
Yes,
historian. So this is what I want to ask you. I am a lawyer with the Jewish Children's Aid Society.
I have a granddaughter from Baltimore. Michelle Sykes.
I remember the Sykes.
She married
I can help her when her dad is here.
Amen.
Shalom.